Today, as I threatened, we will take up case number 59 in the Blue Cliff Record. Zhao Zhou's Why Not Quote It Fully. A monk said to Zhao Zhou, "The ultimate way is not difficult. Just avoid picking and choosing. If you say a word, that is picking and choosing. So how do you go about helping people?" Zhao Zhou said, "Why don't you quote this saying in full?" The monk said, "I have only this much in mind." Zhao Zhou said, "It is just this. The ultimate way is not difficult. Just avoid picking and choosing." Once again, we have a monk questioning Zhao Zhou about this saying, "The ultimate way is not difficult. Just avoid picking and choosing." This time the monk asks, "How do you go about helping people?" Again, give the monk credit. It's a good question. When did words, concepts, sayings, even what we think of as the most profound, really help anyone? I suppose one could say that indirectly they do. A finger pointing at the moon can help, if one can see past the pointing finger to the moon itself. Is that all that Zhao Zhou did? Talk? Well, for the most part, yes. He didn't shout or hit people, except for some anecdotes. When he was a disciple of Nanchuan, he didn't engage in any of the antics ascribed to some masters like Mazu or Yunmen. He just spoke softly. He was 100 years old. His teaching is sometimes called lips and tongue Zen. It is said, even said, that light played around his lips when he spoke. I don't know how Zhao Zhou would react to rumors like that. So how do you go about helping people? How do you help? What is the Bodhisattva's practice? The 10th ox-herding picture, which is said to depict enlightenment beyond enlightenment, shows a ragged, bare-chested monk with a big smile wandering through the marketplace. He consorts with priests and prostitutes, merchants and madmen. He judges no one. He does not pick and choose. This person is worthy, that person is not. And maybe even more important, he does not judge himself. And that is the only way you will ever help anyone. If you come from a place of judgment, you will not help. Sometimes monks like Zhao Zhou are accused of being recluses who don't really help anyone. They just sit in their monasteries in splendid isolation. Well, what are we doing here? Zhao Zhou's words come across to us across the centuries and cultures. Zhao Zhou, Yunmen, Wumen, Deshan, Dongshan, Robert Aitken, Philip Kaplow, Dane and Henry are all still teaching, still helping. And where could they possibly be except right here on your mat in this moment? Zhao Zhou said, "Why don't you quote this saying in full?" I bet the monk didn't see that one coming. Out of the blue, Zhao Zhou seizes the spear and reverses it, something that Zen masters love to do. When the monk speaks, Is he saying it in full? What is it to say something fully and completely? It is to say it without picking and choosing. When I breathe in, am I choosing which air molecules will enter? How about when I breathe out? No, I breathe in whatever I breathe in, and I breathe out whatever I breathe out. What is it to live fully and completely? When we speak, are we already thinking of what we will say next? How we will respond to someone's answer? How many people come into Doksan already thinking of Plan B? It's a natural human tendency to do that, to live in the past and the future. Is this what Xiaozhou saw? Did he see this monk, even as he speaks, leaning forward toward the next response, the next step? Say it in full. That's why we have to practice. We have to let go of past and future and be fully in the here and now. In the end, the bodhisattva path is not about calculating cost-benefit of specific actions. The precepts guide us at the beginning, but ultimately our actions, our words must come out of our practice. Do it fully. Say it fully. And the monk says, I have only this much in mind. I have only this much in mind. Where is he coming from? Is he stuck, unable to come forth in the face of Xiaozhou's challenge? I have only this much in mind. Has he only this little piece, he says? How attached we are to our limitations. Whatever we say about ourselves, no matter what, we are circumscribing that which has no limits, no boundaries. I am so many years old. I know this, I know that. I have so much of this and not enough of that. There I am, picking and choosing and judging. Why don't you quote this saying in full? How would you respond to Xiaozhou's challenge? And don't try to imitate the monk. That's the way of the fox. Is Xiaozhou just repeating himself? Is he holding fast? The ultimate way is not difficult. Just avoid picking and choosing. What is it to say it in full? What is it to say anything in full? What is it to sit here fully? What is it to walk, to eat, to work, to stand, sit, lie down fully and completely? When you speak, say it fully. When you walk, take each step fully. When you sit zazen, sit fully and completely. When you eat, sleep, work, take each present moment fully and completely. Don't get caught up in past memories or future concerns. We have little less than one more day in the Sesshin. Practice it fully. Practice each moment fully as this moment. We've been looking at the koans, the mundo in which the line, the ultimate way, is not difficult. just avoiding picking and choosing, just avoid picking and choosing, is quoted and questioned. I'll end this set of Teisho by letting the Master speak for himself. In a poem entitled Song of the 12 Hours of the Day. A couple of notes here. In ancient China, an hour was the equivalent of 2 hours today. So this is the full day cycle. And at one point he mentions Mr. Chang and Mr. Li. This is a way of referring to people in general, like we might say Mr. Smith and Mr. Jones. Zhao Zhou's poem clearly embodies that line in real day-to-day life of an impoverished monk who was nevertheless a human being. Zhao Zhou was fully and completely human, and he suffered as a human being. He did not avoid suffering. By suffering, that is, accepting his life completely in this moment, he transcends suffering. We make a big deal out of words like equanimity and serenity. Is that for real, or are they just more goals, something to be attained? It's not all beer and Skittles. This is just an old man looking at his life, living his life. We can see that it's a life of any one of us with its ups and downs, joys and sorrows and disappointments. I think you will find at least some of it familiar. Song of the 12 Hours of the Day by Zen Master Zhao Zhou. The cock crows, the first hour of the day. Aware of sadness, feeling down and out, yet getting up. There are neither underskirts nor undershirts, just something that looks a little like a robe. Underwear with a waist out, work pants in tatters, a head covered with 35 pounds of black grit. In such a way, wishing to practice and help people, who knows that on the contrary, it is being a nitwit. Sun level with the ground, the second hour of the day. A broken down temple in a deserted village. There's nothing worth saying about it. In the morning gruel, there's not a grain of rice. Idly facing the open window and its dirty cracks. Only the sparrows chattering, no one to be friends with. Sitting alone, now and then hearing fallen leaves hurry by. Who said that to leave home is to cut off likes and dislikes? If I think about it, before I know it, there are tears moistening my hanky. Sun up, third hour of the day. Purity is turning into compulsive passions. The merit of doing something purposeful is to be buried in the dirt. The boundless domain has not yet been swept. Only the brows are knit. Seldom is the heart content. It's hard to put up with the wizened old men of the East Village. Donations have never been brought here. An untethered donkey eats the weeds in front of my hall. Mealtime, the fourth hour of the day. Aimlessly working to kindle a fire and gazing at it from all sides. Cakes and cookies ran out last year, thinking of them today and vacantly swallowing my saliva. Seldom having things together, incessantly sighing. Among the many people, there are no good men. Those who come here just ask to have a cup of tea. Not getting any, they go off, spluttering in anger. Mid-morning, the fifth hour of the day. Shaving my head, who would have guessed it would happen like this? Nothing in particular made me ask to be a country priest, outcast, hungry and lonely, feeling like I could die. Mr. Chung and Mr. Lee, never have they borne the slightest bit of respect for me. A while ago you happened to arrive at my gate, but only asked to borrow some tea and some paper. The sun in the south, the sixth hour of the day. For making the takatsu rounds to get rice and tea, there are no special arrangements. Having gone to the houses in the south, going to the houses in the north. Sure enough, all the way to the northern houses, I'm given only excuses. Bitter salt, soured barley, a millet rice paste mixed with chard. This is only to be called not being negligent of the offering. The Tao mind of a priest has to be solidified. Declining sun, the seventh hour of the day. Turning things around, not walking in the domain of light and shade. Once I heard, one time eating to repletion and 100 days of starvation are forgotten. Today, my body is just this. Not studying Chan, not discussing principles, spreading out these torn reeds and sleeping in the sun. You can imagine beyond Sushita heaven, but it's not as good as this sun toasting my back. Late afternoon, the eighth hour of the day, and there is someone burning incense and making bows. Of these five old ladies, three have goiter. The other two have faces black with wrinkles. Linseed tea, it's so very rare. The two diamond kings needn't bother flexing their muscles. I pray that next year, when the silk and barley are ripe, Rahulaji will give me a word. Sundown, the ninth hour of the day. Except for the deserted wilderness, what is there to protect? The greatness of a monk is to flow on without any special obligations. A monk going from temple to temple has eternity. Words that go beyond the pattern do not come through the mouth. Aimlessly continuing where the sons of Shakyamuni left off. A staff of rough bramblewood. It's not just for climbing mountains, but also to chase off dogs. Golden darkness, the tenth hour of the day. Sitting alone in the darkness of a single, empty room. Forever unbroken by the flickering candlelight, the purity in front of me is pitch black. Not even hearing a bell vacantly passing the day, I hear only the noisy scurrying of old rats. What more has to be done to have natural human feelings? Whatever I think is a thought of paramita. Bedtime, the 11th hour of the day. The clear moon in front of the gate, to whom is it begrudged? Going back inside, my only regret is that it's time to go to sleep. Besides the clothes on my back, what covers are needed? Head monk Liu, ascetic Chang, talking of goodness with their lips. How wonderful. No matter if my empty bag of life is emptied out, if you ask about it, you'd never understand all the reasons for it. Midnight, 12th hour of the day. this feeling mind of enlightenment, how can it cease even for a moment? Thinking of the people in the world who have left home, it seems like I've been a temple priest for a long time now. A dirt bed, a torn reed mat, an old elm block pillow without any padding. To the holy image, not offering any Arabian incense. In ashes, hearing only the shitting of the ox. Together with all beings, we realize the way.